Welcome to Combo Smite, the War Machine and Horde's Battle Report podcast brought to you by an Imperial Lackey, an overpowered Swan, and an angry Elf. This week's Combo Smite brought to you by Stench of Death Cologne. Now you too can smell like your favorite undead warcaster. Available now at department stores and gaming conventions everywhere. Hello and welcome to Combo Smite. My name is Mark. I'm your host and I play Signar and Menoth.
My name is Nick. I play Retribution and Dwarves.
I'm Aaron. I play Kator and Mercenaries.
And today we have a very special host, one of our first mercenary hosts. Actually, I think he was the first guest host we had on Combo Smite. Adam. Adam, why don't you say hello to everybody?
Well, hello. I'm Adam and I play Krix.
Excellent. Adam is our resident Krix player, and probably, I can't even say probably, he's the strongest player in our meta, has the best stats, currently up to the game we played, the podcast, undefeated, and whether he maintained that undefeated streak or not is part of the wonders of Combo Smite. You will have to listen to the battle report to find out. But before we get to that, news and announcements! Since we have a Krix player on the podcast. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about Horseshade?
Oh, yes. I guess he was fully spoiled like a week and a half ago now, I'd say.
Yeah, he's been around for a while.
He looks really cool. You know, this is a game, and anytime you get to do new things, that adds to the fun of the game, and there's some spells he has that I've never seen in any of my spell lists, so that's new and fun. That's Siphon Bolt's one of them, and Mockery of Life, which is really cool, so potentially you're summoning... you're summoning new undead models back onto into the field. That fits into the theme well. So I'm really excited to use those spells. Siphon Bolt, again, I think might be more hordes heavy. So when I'm playing against Gavin, I'm sure I'll whip him out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And like he looks like a total beat stick, which again is kind of fun. No Call Soul, which I thought was interesting. So,
You're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, you're getting him into melee. It'd be nice to have a couple extra focus points the following turn. So he's got to be conservative, I guess. But that's why he has the spell vortex, right? So you can get a free spell that way still. Yeah. He's interesting. His feat is looks like a lot of work to pull off and very situational. There's a lot of thinking is going to be involved into pulling the feat off properly, I think, which might make it hard to actually pull off. So. Yeah, he looks interesting. I don't know how much play he'll necessarily get for me, but I'll definitely will try him out. There's no question. A few other things like Occultation, which is nice to have, although playing Nick Cassim doesn't really help anymore.
Yeah, it's not so useful against Retribution these days.
No. But yeah, I'm glad he's on a horse. I like Calvary. I like Cavalry.
Yes. So, yeah, I think it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nick, did you have any news you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, the Housecarl Thane officially came out this week, so now instead of proxying, I actually have the model to use, so that'll be fun.
How do you like it?
Oh, it's nice. It's beautiful.
Yeah. The rifle, I'm not quite sold on, just the look of it, but I know you hate the stat line for the rifle.
Yeah, I wish, I don't know why they made it 10-10. Just, I don't see how it would break a model to give him a hand cannon 12-12, but whatever. I mean, you're not going to take him for his hand cannon anyway.
Exactly. Okay.
Fantastic.
Great radio.
Yeah, great pod, as they say on the Adam Carolla show. Great pod.
Vagina pussy cunt. Mark, you gotta edit that.
Okay, this time I'm leaving that in, just so we're all clear on it. Last time it was right at the end of the podcast. I had to cut it, but this time, I don't know.
It's staying in.
All right, Aaron, what about you? You have any news you want to talk about?
No, absolutely nothing.
Okay.
Aaron, thanks for coming out.
Later, people.
I'm out. Drop the mic.
I think he's just nervous about the game tomorrow against me.
Oh, you're playing Adam tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah, always nervous. Always.
Okay. So let's talk about our battle report. So the game was my Signar against Adam's Krix. Now, I originally was hoping to play my Menoth list. I built one Menoth list and one Signar list. And in my head, I had a Menoth list for absolutely anything in Krix. Except for Gatsby 2. Gatsby 2's feat, Menoth has got a plethora of tools to deal with it, and especially the Harbinger, which was the Warcaster I was bringing. She's really, really good against Asphyxius in general. But the problem is I don't own any of those units necessary to actually stop Gatsby's feet. Basically, you need a tar pit, or you need something that can, you know, slow him down or make him use the feet preemptively. And all I had was high-expense Warjacks. He would just melt my entire army on feet turn. So, unfortunately, because Adam happened to bring a Gatsby list, I couldn't put the Menoth list on the table. So next time, hopefully, when I get more of the Menoth painted up, I can holler out. So my Signar list was built with the mentality behind it that the only reason I'd be taking is if Adam brought Gatsby too. And so I wanted to bring kind of a fun list that would give me some game against Asphyxius. And as a result, I took Nemo too, who's not a great Warcaster, but he's strong, and he has Polarity Field, which can be crippling to Asphyxius if he can't get rid of it. And I took a Stormwall, because Signar, and a Squire, same reason. And then, for kicks and giggles, I wanted to take a pretty heavy Warjack list. So I took two Chargers, a Firefly, and a Sentinel. And then, on top of that, I took three Stormcallers, because I needed some way of killing lots of Banes, and a Journeywoman Warcaster, and I took Iris, Epic Iris, because I needed some way to remove debuffs from my Stormwall, which I was pretty sure Adam would put on it. So, that was my list. Adam, why don't you tell us a little bit about yours?
All right, well, I took Asphyxius, actually. I honestly, it was all this talk of fire coming my way. All these fire AoEs I keep hearing about. I'd never I think I played you just those two games previously, and they were just small little 25 pointers. So yep. I've never really played Menoth. So I'm thinking, all right, well, got to block it somehow. It was more the Cosmic Mists that he can lay down. That's really what was on my mind, to protect, you know, certain parts of my army. So that's really what I was thinking, and then I just built a list around him that would, you know, I guess be kind of typical and fun. He had the Bile Thralls. Of course, didn't expect you to bring all metal to the party. But, you know, it happens. I brought Pistol Wraith to shut down, you know, a Jack if you did bring in Gorman, of course, as well, to do the job, double duty. Brought Kankeroom because I just love him with Asphyxius. He's always fun. So I've just brought some Knights, some Thralls with the UA, just a minimum unit of Thralls. And then Banelord Tartarus, of course, you got to have him. Brought an Arcanode, because it's just typical, and Wither Shadow Combine to help me out with the upkeeps. It's nothing really new in that list there, nothing crazy. I wasn't really taking any chances with that list. I cheated and brought a Scarlock as well that I was in my other list. I put on the table and forgot that he wasn't a part of this list.
So is that an extra point?
That was 2 points more than
oh my god
I should have had in this game. there's a reason why I didn't bring him. He's not usually useful with Asphyxius.
Yeah.
So I think one spell he can successfully use, and I didn't do it. So my idea was really just assuming, honestly, I thought you were going to play Menoth. So that's why I brought that list. But I assumed it would be pretty fun. I just wasn't expecting all Jacks.
A lot of people claim that Derek Wraith is supposed to be really strong with Asphyxius. Was there a particular reason you didn't take him? Or if you had a chance to do the list over, would you fit him in there?
He was in the list, actually. I did bring him, and then I took him out last minute because I wanted Bile Thralls. And they were useless. Against Jax, really, you know.
Yeah.
But, that was my reason, actually. I wanted Bile Thralls instead of him. So I guess I could have taken something else out and kept him and the Bile Thralls in, because that potentially is, you know, adds to their threat level,
right.
Which makes it more fun. But I really didn't want to get rid of anything.
Yeah, so. Constant problem.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron, you set up the table, so why don't you tell me why you hate Signar so much?
Why I hate Signar?
Why you hate Signar.
I love Signar.
Oh, I saw the
right
table.
Right next door to me.
I played that table. I want to know why you despise Signar.
I think he loves killing Signar.
That could be it.
Yeah, most people do.
It's a loaded question. Don't fall for it.
All right, so talk a little bit about the table setup.
The table was set up using. I don't think we've used the those hedgerows before, have
no,
we?
No,
that,
those
new,
were
brand
those
new,
new
terrain.
Acquisition. Yeah.
We've discussed before, I think, on the podcast that the our setups for a long time really meant that we had a lot of terrain to the edges and then a wide open space in the center, which kind of meant that all combat was relegated to the center and just became this gigantic mess. So the table was actually initially set up that way. I set it up with a bunch of, it was supposed to be like two farms, more or less, with these little hedgerows acting as the fields, you know, post plowing. And I had it set up in our usual manner that would congest all the action to the center. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to put one big field and have it just like one farm where the buildings are going to be on the outside, but still allow for space going around behind them. And then try to bunch up the center with in the center acting as the field. Unfortunately, the scenario kind of meant that all the action was going to be in the center anyway, because that's what the zone was.
Right.
There were some fences that acted as concealment, as well as the houses acting as obstructions. And you played the tilled fields as concealment or...
Concealment and obstacles.
Okay.
So an inch to go up them and concealment if you were within an inch of them.
Yeah. And those particular terrain pieces don't have a specific type to them, and it was sort of open to you and Adam to discuss that, which is, I guess, what you did at the beginning of the game. To clarify, I didn't do it to specifically fuck you over. That's just how the game kind of rolled out.
Yeah, this is my I believe you face.
Yeah.
In Aaron's,
and if I could see you, I would still say sorry. You can make that face all day long, and that is the truth.
In Aaron's defense, something I forgot to mention was that I took a Strider and a Stormwall. So I had two huge bases. And by sheer bad luck, I guess, for the scenario we were playing, where the fences were relative to the objectives, it was actually impossible to get a huge base into the center of the table on one side of the table, and it was only possible to get one of them on the other side. So I had two huge bases with no way of actually getting both of them into the center of the table, as long as the objectives were both alive, or as long as the objective, my objective, was alive. So the table was bad for Signar to start with, and then because I happened to take a list with two huge bases, it was particularly bad against it, which, you know, it's just, it's part of the game. You have to occasionally accept the fact that the table will go against you. Speaking of the scenario, Nick, why don't you talk a little bit about supply and demand and how it's different?
Okay, so on our quest to go through the 2014 packet one scenario at a time, we arrive now at scenario number two, supply and demand. So it very little's changed in this scenario from last year. Really, the only significant change is the objectives now have they have the objectives work in a different way. Last year, when you dominate the objective, any War Dagger War Beast within 2 inches could charge or run without being forced or spending focus. This year, as with other objectives in the packet, they give the benefit not when you're dominating, but whenever they are not being contested. Mm-hmm. So it's significantly easier to benefit from the bonus that they give, which is great because, I mean, I used it maybe once or twice the whole year, it's a cool objective with a neat ability that I think they should try to make it come into play more often.
Yeah.
So I like it.
You know, it's interesting that Adam had two Warjacks on the table, and I don't think either of them were ever anywhere close to his objective. And I had six on my side of the table. And again, it never came up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It would have been nice if I could have gotten some free charges off, but
naturally.
Just didn't happen. Yeah, of course. Well, because, you know, Nemo 2 runs so focus inefficient. He's starved every turn. So.
So other than the objectives, it has the rule where you can't dominate the zone if the enemy objective is in your control area. Right. But that's the same as last year. And that's about it.
Cool. So we rolled for initiative, which Adam won. And Adam, was there a reason you decided to go first rather than pick side?
I just really wanted to run forward really early. Saw a lot of guns. I kind of didn't want you to get into position before me, so
right.
to speak. So that was really my worry. So I looked at the board, and I know you feel it's heavy against you there. I will say that it was pretty tough for me too. I had one unit of Ghostly. The rest all had to suffer the consequences of those obstacles. So I really didn't really care which side of the board I had. And like you said, bringing those two heavy bases, you're right. There wasn't a lot of options for you anyway, right?
Yeah. So how'd you set up your army?
I kind of, you know, had an okay side of the board when it was all said and done after you picked. There was a lot of houses, so large obstacles on my right-hand side. And with your Storm Strider there and a lot of scary things to the left-hand side, I wanted to stay away from it. So I kind of set up in a line, kind of a line there, but most of it was on the right-hand side of the board, really heavy over there. I kept my knights behind the houses, basically my raiders got the advanced deploy, so I figured I'd put them in harm's way. So I put them on the left-hand side close to your storm wall, and you had a couple jacks of Firefly and a charger, I think, over there.
Yep.
And I put my my pistol wraith behind them to kind of back them up with the arc node. And then everything else was kind of the right-hand side of the board.
So for my part, I had to just deploy my two huge bases first. So the storm wall went right in the middle of the table, which was actually the only spot I could get up to the center of the table from. And the Strider, excuse me, the Strider went on the my left-hand side, so Adam's right-hand side, because I figured the Electro Leaps and the POW, man, is the Strider POW 15 or 14? Whatever. The powerful cannons would actually be a relatively good counter to the Bane Knights. I was hoping I could get some shots off on them as they approached. And there was a fence that was just inside the kill box where I could park Nemo behind it. And then my plan was to put the Strider and the storm wall kind of, you know, touching bases so that Adam couldn't get line of sight to my fragile Warcaster in kill box. I didn't mention this scenario had kill box. Anyways.
Very
important. So with those two deployed, Adam set up his stuff, and then I had to put my Firefly on one flank or on the other, and because he hadn't deployed his Raiders yet, I decided that I would put it on the same side of the table as the Bane Thralls, as opposed to the Bane Knights, because the Bane Knights are, they have reach, and they're going to be able to kill my Firefly much easier, because they can run through terrain. Whereas on the other side of the table, I was hoping I could do an extreme flanking maneuver with the Firefly just so I could have another deep triangulation point, because really, for Signar, you want to get your triangulation points separated by almost exactly 20 inches and behind as much of the enemy army as you humanly possibly can. The lightning pods help a lot with that, but the Firefly is still a very versatile warjack for that. Nemo went in the middle with his little entourage. I put one charger on either side of the table. I put the storm collars in the middle. And then I advanced deployed Iris behind my Strider and on the far left side. And everybody who saw her there thought I hadn't deployed her yet, because she was not advanced deployed. She was at the back. But I did that intentionally because I didn't want Iris being at the front of the army against a bunch of charging maniacs with axes. She's really fragile. And so by keeping her in the back, I was hoping I could use her for late game. And again, as I mentioned, just to shoot off debuffs from my Stormwall, because her gun doesn't do much damage. It's not going to pierce armor 19. And even if it disrupts it, then, you know, not a big deal. I can disrupt it after it's taken its activation.
Didn't you have a little hiccup with how far you could be placing your advanced deployment units?
I did. Because I'm so good at this game, I have honestly been thinking that advanced deployment was 4 inches past the deployment line. And I've been doing this for months now, where I would set up, you know, my line and then advanced deploy 4 inches past that. Because Signar does not have a lot of advanced deploy models. We have the Grenadiers and the Trenchers, and that's it. Like, it's just not... It's not frequent that I actually have the opportunity to advance deploy anything.
Have you not wondered why your opponents were setting up far up the board previously with their advanced deploy?
I never noticed, because you know the difference between 4 inches and 6 inches. I'm sure to you guys is very obvious, but to me, I am so bad at judging distances.
Apparently, Mark is just far too trusting, and we can really do a lot of stuff, and he's not even going to notice.
2 points extra in every battle now.
I will say, there you go. I will say that one time, using Nemo 3, who has a control range you can extend, and a gun that has range control, I thought it was very easy to hit someone else's advanced deploy models. I'm like, wow, I thought I would just barely be in, and I'm in by like an inch or two, and now I know why. Because my calculation assumed the advanced deploy was only 4. But anyways. So yes, thank you for making me point out how stupid I was to everybody, Aaron. I appreciate
that.
You're welcome. Ignorance isn't stupidity. I'll give you that.
Okay, so why don't we start with Crick's turn one?
Ah, yes. So Crick's turn one. I signed one focus to Cankerworm, one to my Night Wretch, basically just for the purposes of running, right, mm-hmm. first turn, essentially. Then I first thing I did was run with my Knights, my Bane Knights, on the right-hand side of the board. They were up against your Strider. That was my. They were in the sights. So I figured I would kind of get in between those houses at some point, and then lay some Cosmic Mists maybe down. So I had this whole plan of just keeping them safe. That was my idea. So I wanted to start by moving them far on the right, behind some houses, and they can do that. They can run through whatever they want. I love mm-hmm. it. So that's what I did. And then I ended up going with my Cankerworm second, kind of tagging along. I was hoping the Cankerworm would maybe eventually meet up with the Stormstrider as well. And after that, I believe Gatsby went, and then he did his upkeep, just a spell that essentially protects him from charges. You never know with all these jacks.
That is a fantastic spell, for the record.
Yeah, it is a nice little bonus.
It's Clarity Field on an actual useful caster. It's insane.
Yeah, but yeah, so exactly. So basically, yeah, so people know what we're talking about. It's called Hellbound.
Hellbound.
So basically, yeah, it can't be targeted by charges. And then while within 5 inches of it, everything treats it as rough terrain. Mm. Like all enemy models treat it as rough terrain. Kind of little Crick's in there. not Crick's, I mean, sorry, Circle in there.
Yes.
Yes. So it is. It's really nice in melee. It's great. But I figured cast anyway. I had Wither Shadow Combine. It's free to upkeep, right? Mm. So then he kind of just went forward behind a little hedge grove. After that, and then Wither Shadow Combine ran up, McGorman ran up, BLT ran up, basically everything just ran forward, almost completely straight forward, and my Raiders, this is where I was nervous. I'm always nervous, just like I don't like sacrificing them, I just don't like it, but I figured there was really not a lot of hope for them. I just want to maybe slow you down, so I did a full-fledged run with them. A couple I kept back, including the leader, of course. I don't want her force barrier to go away. That's really important against you. So just a basic run. My Pistol Wraith and my Night Wrench all ran up. Scarlock ran. My Pistol Wraith, Incorporeal, not too worried about much, but I put him in the forest anyway. I noticed you didn't have a lot of magical guns, so I wasn't too worried. And then Bile Thralls, I was nervous to put these guys anywhere near any of my models with all your leaps available. Those would be an easy target to hit, obviously, at defense 10. So I kept them back. I really kind of just kept them in the back burner. And that was my turn.
Signar, turn one. So I actually had to debate on whether to feat this turn or not, because I was measuring Nemo's control range. And from the base of Nemo forwards 14 inches, I could tell that the Cankerworm was to the left side of the table at that exact distance. And 14 inches away is 1 3-inch energizer, a 6-inch walk, and then a 5-inch shot. And my charger was standing almost directly in front of that Cankerworm. There was a little bit of a cottage, just the corner of a cottage, between me and it. So I'd have to curl just a tiny bit around that. But I had a half inch, like the Cankerworm was 13 and a half inches up, away from the charger, so I should have been able to finagle that around. But the problem is that if I spend 3 for energizer, allocate the charger 3 so it gets both of its shots, that only leaves Nemo with 2 focus. And that 2 focus I've used to cast Polarity Field, so that Asphyxius's army couldn't charge me. But then I couldn't get at any of my other upkeeps. And Nemo has a lot of really good upkeeps, and the inability to get them out was kind of depressing me. So I was like, okay, well, I could feat this turn. His Syntaxis Raiders are probably going to be in range of my Charger. The Firefly could run around. Probably wouldn't be able to get behind any of them, but might get close. The Stormwall would be able to get his shots off. But it seemed really early to pop the feat. And on top of that, if I pop the feat now, and I didn't kill Cankerworm, it would have been a complete waste of it, basically. Because it's not worth a feat in order to take two shots at Cetaxis Raiders. So, in the end, I decided not to. I allocated three focus to the left charger, and I took one from the Squire, and we started. So I went with the Stormwall first. It walked up full 5 inches, not directly towards the center of the table, but pretty close. I had to spend an inch to go up one of the obstructions, the farmer's field rows. And I threw out a lightning pod right in the middle of the table. Small mistake here. I probably should have put it a little bit closer to the Cetaxis, but whatever. It was close enough to them, I could tell. And then I fired both of the big guns at the Night Wretch because it doesn't have stealth. And being able to kill one of the Arc Nodes, the only Arc Node Asphyxies had on the table, would have been really cool. But the Night Wretch is high defense, and I think I needed nines to hit, and both shots went wide. And then I dropped Covering Fire templates between the Stormwall and all the Cetaxis, because they could have easily charged me if I didn't, so I figured, you know, better safe than sorry. Then the Strider activated. It walked up its 5 inches, so it's, you know, a couple inches from the objective. I take two shots at the lightning pod. The first one hits. It's defense 5. Anything but Snake Eyes hits. And I get 3 E-leaps. And the Electro Leaps just fry the closest 3 Raiders. But then the second shot, unfortunately, there was nothing else within 4 inches. Banelord Tartarus was close. He was 4.5 inches, more or less, away. Which is too bad, because it would have been nice to get some damage on him if possible. It's dice minus 7, but still. You know, regardless, nothing happened on the second shot. Then Nemo activated. He cast Energizer for 3. A brief side rant. I know why Stormwalls or Colossals are not affected by Energizer, but it's still a little depressing. It would be really nice to be able to move your Stormwall 3 extra inches with Energizer.
Of course it would.
Of course it would.
There's not a game I've played a huge base where I'm not just like, Lasai, about not being able to do out of activation stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just a little bit, anyways. Well, but the problem is that if you could Energizer it, then you could telekinesis it. And that I really don't want. So, anyways. So he cast Energizer for 3. So all my Light War Jacks move up 3 inches. And he himself moves up 3 inches. He cast Polarity Field on the Stormwall. And then he walks a little bit just to tuck just a sliver of a sliver into the kill box right behind the fence. And then the Sentinel I have activates. He moves so that he's 2 inches away from Nemo and 2 inches away from the Stormwall. So that he can do his little shield guard thing. I didn't realize when I was looking at the lists that Adam had both Gorman and the Pistol Wraith, which is bad if you've only got one shield guard model, but still, you know, you do what you can. The Journeywoman activated. She moved up. She put Arcane Shield on the Sentinel because I figured he'd be, you know, taking a couple shots through shield guarding. And the Squire, you know, just trundles along behind. And then, for all the marbles, the left charger activates. So if I can get within 5 inches of the Cankerworm, I'm getting 2 fully boosted POW 12s on an Armor 16 Warjack, which does not have a lot of boxes. And the Cankerworm is a great Warjack. It hits like a heavy, but it's fastest knot. It has parry. That ability for it to absorb weapons is just unbelievable.
Oh, super fun.
Yeah, so being able to use a 4-point Warjack to kill it would just be magical. But by sheer bad luck, I'm out by the sliverest of slivers. You know, probably a millimeter, maybe 2 millimeters out of range.
By the way, I was looking at some pictures a little closer just now.
Yep.
And I think I know why you failed that.
Oh.
Your charger wasn't up the line.
Yeah. He was
so
really
when
close.
When you placed him, you must have measured badly because he was definitely like about an inch behind your Strider.
It wouldn't have been a full inch, but he would have been, yeah, probably that 1/2 inch, it was significant.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why you fail.
Yeah. Tell me about it. So yeah, next time he toes right up to the line, goddammit.
He would have still been a millimeter out. I'm just that good at judging.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when you originally ran the Canker...
Can't argue with that.
When you originally ran the Cankerworm, you actually had him run, like, much further out in the open. And then you kind of changed your mind twice, and every time you pulled him a little bit closer to the cottage. And so I'm keeping my mouth shut. And I'm like, no, leave him there. Until finally you're like, okay, no, he'll go here. And I'm like, I think he's still in. I think I still got the son of a bitch. But no.
Well, he had 14, right? He had like 4 inches left over something. So I pulled him back. Yeah, I was nervous. I was a little nervous.
Well, with good reason, apparently.
Yeah.
But no such luck. So, 3 completely wasted focus, or as we call it, marxing. But such is life. So well, the right
technically, charge... it was like six because your Energizer wasn't really needed.
Thanks, Nick. Thanks.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for. Any other flaws you'd like me to point out for you?
We'll get to the rating part afterwards. You can point them out then. So the right charger, he activates. He has no focus, but he's within range of a raider. So he takes a shot and misses. And then the Firefly... I just skirts a little bit over so that there's no line of sight from Adam's Sitaxis to it, except for one of them, which you know I missed a little bit, but whatever. And then my three Stormcallers all run, they spread out, and I figure that now that the Cankerworm is absolutely positively going to kill my Charger over on that side of the table, I have to come up with some other way to slow it down. And Iris has got that neat 5-inch bubble where you can't allocate focus to any Warjacks within it. And I figure, you know, okay, I won't be able to allocate it to my Charger probably, but it's going to die anyway, so not a big deal. So I ran her towards that side of the table and figured, you know, next turn maybe I'd be able to get a disruption off. And left it at that, and that was my turn.
A fine turn it was, Mark.
Why, thank you, Adam.
I think I definitely got to say, it's you definitely should not have defeated this turn.
So yes.
You made the right decision there.
Yes.
I agree. Yes. So Crick's turn two at this point. So Gatsby... gets his free upkeep right off the get-go, obviously, from the Wither Shadow. I really didn't feel it was going to come in handy, but it's free. So, mm-hmm. I had some decisions here. I knew I was in charge range with my Kanker, and so I did, you know, back to the sorry assigning focus part, I assigned him three focus was my ultimate decision. On sixes to hit, just because... it's a star attack, that bite. I get one chance. Even on sixes, I just didn't feel like risking it.
Mm.
You know, I probably didn't need to boost six to hit, but I ended up giving him three focus just for that extra boost. You know, would have been nice to keep some extra armor, of course, on Gatsby, but so that's what I did. And then I was kind of in a debate because I knew once I charged with Cankerworm, when I got around to it, I figured I'd be just – oh, I measured. I was out of my control for Gatsby, which means I wouldn't get the follow-up move at the end of his activation, the affinity with the Cankerworm, so I wouldn't get that follow-up move, and I was kind of I wanted to do a little hit and run, so I was kind of wasn't sure if I was going to be able to get Asphyxius close, like who I should activate first, so I kind of just left that for the time being, and I went to activate the Pistol Wraith instead. Forget, okay, I know exactly what I'm doing with this guy. So I go in, run through whatever I want because he's incorporeal, planted him behind a hedge because you know, he's relatively high defense. Why not give him two more? Let's make him real hard to hit. I much prefer making already hard things to hit extremely hard to hit than making like a defense 12, a defense 14, right?
Yep.
So it's always fun to make you pay for hitting those guys. So, you know, I took a shot at the Colossus, thinking I would stop it in its tracks and totally forgetting you had a shield guard. Completely overlooked that. Just, oh, such a brain fart. fortunately, so the first hit no problem, did no damage. No, I think I did one damage point, actually.
You might have,
I did do one damage point, and then the second hit, naturally, but that you didn't absorb that hit, so at this point I'm still thinking I'm good to go. I'm going to shut this guy down for a turn. And then my third shot, you shield guarded the third shot, essentially making your shield guard guy take the death chill.
Yep.
But really, what does that affect me in any way? Not at all. It really didn't affect your guy either. He was just a bodyguard.
Yep.
So that worked out really well, and I did like one damage. So that was disappointing. I overlooked the shield guard guy. So I wanted to get some revenge. So I'm like, all right, I'm moving Gorman next. I'm going to try to get someone with his oil. Move Gorman up, a whopping six. And I had to do it in a particular angle because there was a grove in front of me. I would have lost an inch otherwise. And I shot it at your battle engine, Stormstrider. And I missed. It didn't deviate in the direction I wanted it to, so nothing was effective. And Gorman was just hanging out in the middle of the board.
Hooray!
At least he was in the control zone. I was doing something.
Yes.
Very unsuccessful. My two guys that love nothing more than to stop Jax, in which you had an entire list of, were unsuccessful that turn. So, yeah, a little disappointing. But you live, you learn. So then I decided Gatsby, I didn't really want to move him yet. So I kept him back and decided to go with the Cankerworm, knowing he was going to be stuck for the following round, that you could disrupt him. That's what I was worried about. But anyway, so I charged your charger. Sorry, was it your charger?
Yep, yep.
Yes. I did charge the charger and boosted to hit, and I ended up getting 16 points of damage, which was very nice. I was happy. It was dice plus 3, so yeah. You can't go wrong. It was still higher than average die roll, so it worked out really good. And I think it crippled at that point everything but your sword arm or your axe arm.
No, the first hit only crippled the cannon.
Only crippled the cannon. Okay, yeah. You're right. So then I got my second attack, which was at that point dice, I believe dice minus 3.
Something like that.
At that point, yeah, because it was a PS-13. And that did some more damage. Yeah. And then I purchased one last attack. Basically, I think I left you with one or two boxes.
One box, just the cortex.
It was exactly one box in the cortex.
Yep, that was it. Yep. 25 points of damage to a 26 hit point warjack.
Yeah, wow. It was great. It was fun.
How many points is Cankerworm, by the way?
Cankerworm is 5.
Seems balanced.
Yeah, he is. He's a nice little 5-point guy.
Yeah, I know. He's pretty awesome.
No, it's a brilliant warjack.
There's a lot of guys out there that have armor. So
not that many.
No.
Okay. No, there's. Well, whatever. And certainly no light. I think the Cankerworm's the only light warjack that has an armor-piercing attack.
That's a little chomp.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
No, it's a great warjack.
I love it, yeah. So then I figured, okay, well, my next plan, again, was to keep those knights on the right-hand side of the board. They were just, like I said, they were going to assassinate, so to speak, your battle engine. They're just, that's all. They had targets, and I wanted to keep them protected on the way, because armor 16 is great, but, you know, you could do some serious electro leaps with them still. You could still kill a few, although you may not want to with the Vengeance, of course, but I didn't want to risk it. So I ran them up. Actually, I declared a charge because I figured, hey, I might be able to get one guy to finish off your charger, your jack. And he was like a half inch out.
Yep.
All the other guys ran. And I put them so in a nice position that they were tucked kind of close to the house, the cottage. I wanted to get them protected and to eventually lay some mists down, which I did next. I activated Gatsby. I moved him out of the kill box. Still kept them under protection of the 2-inch, or the, what are they called? Little hedge groves we had there.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him, 17 defense at that point, which I was loving. I wasn't too worried.
Mm-hmm.
And, I dropped the 2 Cosmic Mists, protected the knights. Took a few minutes there to be a little finicky with them, because I came to the realization, maybe I shouldn't have said it out loud because maybe you weren't thinking this, I don't know. Came to the realization that I can't count on that objective also blocking line of sight, because you could kill your own objective and deny me a point. I didn't really think about that. So I was really taking my time positioning those clouds in hopes that you would, you know, you actually wouldn't kill that objective your following turn. And then I just camped. I think I had, I want to say I had maybe one focus.
No,
I didn't. I had 0.
You had nothing.
Yeah, because that came 7. Yeah, that was not very smart of me. Then the Wither Shadow all ran forward, kind of just hanging out, ready for the following turn. Raiders, I just ended up doing a charge because, again, why not? I think I had line of sight to one guy, which I believe it was just the only – yeah, it was one guy, one successful charge. Everyone else ran. My idea was, although they were going to receive no penalty with all these electro leaps, no melee penalty, I just wanted to slow those 2 jacks down in hopes that I could jam up the board and get some control points coming up in the next turn or so. So that's all I did. And again, I always regret it. So expensive, those guys, and I just like them too much to throw them away like garbage.
And they're painted so well.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, it's so nice. But anyway, I that's what I did. I still kept my captain or my witch, sorry, the UA, relatively safe behind cover. And everyone else ran. They were all within her command except one. And so not all, sorry, except one wasn't in her command. So yeah, everyone else was still a viable, their free strikes were still open season, at least with the other ones. And I believe I did maybe a few points of damage, actually, to your Firefly with 2 points with one successful charge.
You power swelled. You popped their mini feet.
Yes.
And so you're rolling 4d6 and you what's the opposite of cranking? Flubbed?
Yes. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. You're right. The power swell. So. Yeah, so I power swelled, just figured. I didn't think they were really going to get much action at all the rest of the game, so I just wasted the power swell on the one guy that could have attacked.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like a waste to get it for just one attack, but I mean, yeah. you were, I think you did the right thing just because, like, they were going to die anyway.
Exactly. I figured, in my head, I'm like, you know what, four dice, I might get 5 or 6 damage points on him. Hey, great, it's a start, and I'll do a damage to his caster. I ended up doing 2 points. It's a crappy roll.
Yeah. But you still did the feedback to Nemo, so
I did. Yeah, it actually would have been nice if I knocked you down. That would have been a little gravy with my my whip.
Yeah.
Then next, my Night Ratch activates, and I used its gun to end up shooting I shot the pod and just destroyed it. It's a really powerful gun on that guy.
Yeah, power 14.
Yeah, it's really powerful for such a small little arc. No, it's only 4 points as well.
Jesus Christ!
You can pay a focus to make it an AOE, which is kind of nice too.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it is. I love it. So I still kept that behind one of the hedge groves for most, you know, relative to most of your guns. Give them some extra defense. I really wanted that pod out of there. I don't want those things scaling. It's like, you can put one a turn. I'm going to kill one a turn. I'm not letting you get more than one out there. That was my idea.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, no matter what it takes. So luckily, this guy had a gun. I didn't feel like it was a waste because nothing else was in range. So I killed it. And then Bane Thralls ran up. Again, I wanted to get as much presence on that control zone as possible. And, you know, they have relatively high armor with, you know, in their stealth. Didn't think a lot of them would die. Plus, they had tough with the UA. Mm-hmm. I know you could leap, but I figured maybe, you know, 2 or 3 would survive if you focused on them only. Mm-hmm. But I gave you a lot of targets. Like, that's the thing. I overwhelmed you with targets.
Yes.
That's the idea. And then BLT ran up kind of in the center of them to give them a little room for cursing. I hate when I block them. I never have oversights. Sometimes I put him behind the bins. So I kept him in the middle. Scarlock runs forward. My Scarlock, who shouldn't be there, ran forward. The Bile Thralls, they ended up just kind of hanging to the right-hand side. I ended up running them behind. The idea was slowly behind the knights because I had a plan for them the next turn. And I didn't want them anywhere near your guns as well. Honestly, man, like they're so juicy, those targets. Defense 10, hit that. You don't, you know. And
makes my life easier.
Just 3 guys off there, yeah. That was it. That was that turn.
Signar, turn 2. So, as Adam has commented on, I'm now faced with one of Signar's most glorious prepositions, a target-rich environment. There were just things in every direction, and if it weren't for the fact that the Sataxis Raiders were choking up some of my guns, he had gotten a couple of them onto my storm wall, he had completely tied down my right charger. My left charger has only got his Cortex left, so it's not going to get a lot of work done. You know, I had to clear out some of the masses, but there's no question anymore that this is feet turn. All my stuff can fire. Everything's going to be in range. It's going to be awesome. So I upkeep Polarity Field. For a moment, I thought about dropping it to juggle to Arcane Shield, but then I realized that Gatsby hasn't used his feet yet, and I really need the Stormwall to survive. It's a big point of investment, and if I can have it with Polarity Field, then I'm immune to Gatsby's feet, my life gets easier, and the attrition war swings so heavily in my favor that it's actually possible I might win this. So I upkeep Polarity Field, I take one from the Squire, and Nemo goes first. He immediately pops his feet, gives all my Warjacks their full focus load. He then shoots a Raider that was hanging out in the middle of the zone, the one that was out of command, out of control, the command range of the unit. I hit it and kill it. I then cast a lightning storm at Gorman, who's way out of range. He's 12 inches away at least, and it's an 8-inch spell. But I'm hoping that I can get a lucky deviation. But the problem is that in direction 1 is Gorman. In direction 5 are all of Adam's Bane Knights. And I really don't want to hurt them if I can avoid it. Because that vengeance attack, unless you take out a lot of the unit, is just incredibly powerful. You know, one charge from the Bane Knights is bad enough. A vengeance attack and then a charge is just, it's ridiculous. I thought my Strider with Arcane Shield might be able to survive a charge from, you know, 6, 7, 8 of the Bane Knights, especially if he couldn't get all of his models around it. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping not to cause the vengeance strike unless I could kill a lot of them. So it was a bit of a risk to fire the AoE at Gorman, but it scattered away in the other direction, didn't hit Gorman, didn't hit anyone else. And I debated for a little bit about whether to cast it again, try my luck, but I decided against it because I knew I could kill him with the Stormwall, and I figured that would be good enough. So he just camps the last three, and I know that, well, I'm pretty sure Adam's going to feed on his next turn, and he can probably get one model in on Nemo. So I'm hoping Armor 19 will just protect him enough that he won't just melt to the one attack. So then the left charger, the one that has only his Cortex left, he activates. He takes his initial attack, he boosts to hit, and because his hammer's crippled, it's only a 2d6 boosted. But he hits, and then I boost damage, and I actually inflict 5 points of damage, which at dice minus 4 is not bad. Of course, it doesn't cripple anything, but, you know, whatever. It's a light warjack. I've now done some work, and considering he, again, had one hit point left, I really wasn't complaining. Then Iris walks up behind the charger so that both of those warjacks are inside her 5-inch bubble. I, you know, temporarily think about whether to shoot the cankerworm, but Adam gleefully points out that it's sitting around armor 24.
Yeah, I think it was somewhere around that. Yeah, right? It was engaged and then behind cover.
Cover, yeah. So
that's right. Yeah.
Even with my rat 9, I would need a 13 on 2d6 to hit. So I decided not to shoot it.
I think it was 22, but yes.
Anyway. Yeah. It would have been really freaking hard.
Yeah.
So the Stormwall activates next. He walks up his 5 inches, and he just toes into the zone and blocks off most of the line of sight to Nemo. So it's exactly where I want him. Now, I knew that I could shield guard the pistol wraith, but I realized that shield guard only works on blind if Adam hits. If Gorman happens to miss and the blind grenade scatters into the Stormwall, I can't shield guard that. Which means that Gorman was a much, much bigger threat than the pistol wraith. The pistol wraith I can just use the sentinel to take the shot. But Gorman, if Adam, quote, is unlucky, end quote, and doesn't directly hit my Stormwall, I'm in big trouble. So he's got to die. And thankfully, the Stormwall has a perfect tool for doing that. He throws out a lightning pod. Oh, first, he had to walk away from one of the raiders. I was hoping I'd be able to kill that one raider, but then I realized I didn't really care, that it wouldn't be likely to do much damage to my Stormwall. So Adam took the free strike, inflicted a... I don't think he did any damage. Pinged off the armor, which is perfect. Then I got in the zone, and I threw a lightning pod right behind Gorman, and I only needed a 5 to kill him. No, 7. I needed a 7 to kill him. Yeah, because his armor 12.
Yes.
So I needed a 7 to kill him. Didn't want to risk that Gorman would survive with a hit point, and so boosted the damage and put him in the dirt, which is where he was supposed to be. So now I've still got 2 focus left, and I realize the odds are very good that I'm in range of Gatsby, and so I want to hit him. And I temporarily think about, you know, I could theoretically fire both big guns at Gatsby, but then I'm only doing dice damage unboosted, at dice minus 1, which is only 12 points. Whereas if I fire one shot, I hit him, and I boost the damage, I can do almost as much damage just on that one shot. And so I debate for a little bit, but decide, okay, I'll fire one shot at Gatsby and one shot at the Night Wretch. So I fire an unboosted shot at the Night Wretch. It misses. Again, no surprise. And then the second shot goes into Gatsby. I boost to hit, and then I boost damage. And I inflict 12 points of damage on Gatsby, which is a lot more powerful than I thought it would be.
Yeah, he was sitting like armor 17, I think.
He was 16. Oh, he was base armor because you.
I'm not armor. I mean, defense like 17.
Yeah, 17. But so, of course, the Stormwall's rat 6, so I only need 11s to hit.
Yeah.
Which is a 50-50 chance, and you know, I happen to get it.
Yeah.
If I had realized that, I would have let Gorman live and just pumped both shots, boosted the damage on one of them into to Gatsby, and hope that I just end the game there. But
yeah, it's a 25% chance to end the game.
Yeah, but the other flip side is that it's a 25% chance. And if I don't end the game, then Gorman is still alive, probably. And, you know, now my Stormwall's got a big problem. So,
see, what I would have done would have been the assassination run, and then I would have died the next turn.
Yeah. You know, I actually have a bad history of going for low probability, relatively low probability assassination runs, and I didn't want to do it again. So
I think I have a worse history, just saying.
It's usually when you want to end the night early and you're tired.
Yes. Okay, so the Stormwall then drops out two covering fire templates, and you know I'm really happy with that activation. I put 12 points on Gatsby. The Stormwall still got polarity field. It's covered by the covering fire templates from the Bane Thralls. I think I'm in a pretty good position for it, so that's good.
Well, looking at the map, it looks like if your pod was within 10, was Gatsby within range of your Metal Storms?
No.
Never mind then.
Yeah, because the lightning pod where it is right at the edge of 10. Like it's not 9.5; it's 10 inches. Yeah. So Gatsby is outside the 10-inch range of the guns.
Okay. It's hard to tell in the pictures.
Yeah, no, it's close, but he's out. So the lightning pod, however, is very close to a member of the Withershadow Combine and Gatsby. And I've just realized that Gatsby's now down to probably 8 health. He's down to 8 health, which is not impossible to kill with Electro Leaps. And so I figure, hey, what the hell? Let's get this done. So I activate the Strider. It walks up, so it's touching the objective. And I just barely have line of sight to the lightning pod past the caustic mists. And so again, I shoot it. First shot hits. Gets 3 Electro Leaps. The first one goes into Tremulous, one of the Wither Shadow, and inflicts 2 or 3 points of damage. Second leap goes into Gatsby, inflicts another 3 points of damage, which is awesome. So I've done 15 points of damage to him now. And the third leap goes into a Bile Thrall, which it just blasts to pieces. So this is perfect. I just need one more roll like that, one more 3 Electro Leaps, and I'm set. So I fire at the pod, and I only get 1 Electro Leap, which sucks. And at the time, I thought, you know, like, okay, no big deal. At least I got 1 Electro Leap. I kill Tremulous, so I've taken out the Puppet Master of the Wither Shadow, which is awesome. But I didn't realize that I really needed to kill Admonina because she's got that unbinding. And if I had realized at the time, then maybe I would have done things a little bit differently. But, you know, hindsight, 2020.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Yes. Spoilers. Anyways. But regardless, that was the lightning. That was the Strider. I'm happy with its job. And so next goes one of my Storm Colors. It walks up a little bit and triangulates with a Firefly and a Storm Color in the back, and as a result can fry all 3 Raiders that are engaging my right Charger, which is perfect. That Charger then activates, and he takes a fully boosted shot at the Scarlock Thrall, because I didn't realize that it wasn't supposed to be on the table, and kill it, so it's no longer on the table. And so after that, I take and I buy another attack against the Raider, the Raider UA, the officer. But even fully boosted, I miss, which just sucks. So then my second Stormcaller, it activates and it triangulates with the Lightning Pod and the first Stormcaller. And in that triangle, there's another Raider, the one that got the free strike on the Stormwall. It dies. And there are 2 Bane Thralls. And I kill one of them, and I miss the other, rolling an 11, which just sucked. So after that, my Journeywoman activates, and she puts Arcane Shield on my Strider, because I've realized at this point that those Bane Knights are coming, and I've got to do something to protect it. And then the Death Chilled Sentinel activates. It shuffles up a little bit to stay within 2 inches of the Stormwall. And then the Firefly activates. It's engaged by 2 Raiders, the one that charged it, another one that just ran up. And so I boost to hit on my first melee attack. I miss. I need 8. And I think a little bit, okay, well, I can kill one of them by boosting again. Or I can just take the chances. I decided to just take my chances. So I buy an attack, roll an 8, kill it, buy another attack, roll another 8, and kill the second one. So the only raider left on the table is the UA, which makes me feel a little bit happy. You know, I'm on the one hand, I've given Tartarus like ammunition for his feet. But on the other hand, I've killed a bunch of his Taxis, and that's always a good thing. And then my last Stormcrawler activates, and he's on the left side of the table, so he doesn't really have any line of sight to anything through the huge bases. So I just tuck him in next to Nemo. And through there, there's a little gap between the objective and the Stormwall, which I can see one Bane. And so I triangulate on him, and it's the same Bane that survived last time, and he survives again. So that sucked. I rolled a 12. So got the
trooper.
Yeah. He kept handing his big metal axe to something else nearby. Hold this for me.
I credit it to me vetting the die first. I'll roll 4 die, and whenever comes, or 4 or 5, whatever comes up as a 1 or 2, that's my tough die.
Oh, you didn't even tough. I didn't hit you.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I rolled a 12.
Yep. Yeah.
So that was my turn. Overall, as a feat turn, not fantastic, but I'm still in a relatively good position, I think. And, you know, all I have to do is wither Adam's feet with my Stormwall intact, and I think I've got the game. So.
Oh, well, this is Crick's turn three right now. It's the top of turn three. I had a lot going on my mind here, and I think I definitely would have gone quicker. I took a lot of time here. I apologize, but I was really thinking this out. It would have gone quicker. I forgot one thing, which is just so bad. You know, you forget things in your own army, but I don't suffer damage on my feat turn. I was really planning on feeting this turn. So in my head this whole time, like, okay, well, I got to make sure when I feat, I put these guys starting in the covering fire so they don't take the damage. They can charge out of it into your Colossus. Totally. And you guys even mentioned how I didn't suffer damage, and I just went right over it. I wasn't paying attention. I remember you guys talking about it too. So brutal. So so a lot of it was in my head. Oh shoot, I gotta position him right. I have to get Asphyxius close enough and they, you know, defeat, you know, bring all these raiders back, because at the time, I think, how much health did your caster have?
You had done one point of feedback. No, at this time I still had 14 or 15. You'd only done the one feedback point of damage.
Okay. You know, I had a lot going through my mind. Part of me wanted to feed and bring all raiders back and just feedback you and, you know, try to do a couple points of damage on the, you know, with someone else, just feedback you to death. So I was really thinking about that for the longest time. And, I decided, what I was doing. So after planning everything out, I decided, there's no, you know, no one to give focus to. I didn't really have much I could do with the Cankerworm. He was kind of stuck with Iris at that point. And the Charger, he was just stuck there. So I didn't really need to give any focus. So I started with, the first thing I wanted to do is see if I can ping your caster a little bit more, because I was still, you know, thinking of maybe feeding those raiders. I charged you with my last raider. I charged your Charger, who had ran up about 6 inches away from the control zone, I think, at this point. So I charged it. Successful charge. Wasn't too hard to hit. And, of course, I did some damage. And it the feedback, I think it was 1 point of damage. And then feedback's your caster at that point. And I was starting to get a little more confident that I might be able to kill him this way. And then I went with Cankerworm next, just because he was kind of in the way of some things I wanted to do. So Cankerworm next, finished off your other charger on the right-hand side. And then I get my follow-up move, my affinity with Asphyxius, because this time he was in range. He was in his control, which is great. So yeah, I ended up going, he's got parry. I love it. So I just walked right around Iris there. Just saying hey. So I started in her back arc. And like, does she not see him? Is that what's going on right now? Or is she just like, you just can walk around, no problem. She doesn't care, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he went there. No free strike. It's great. So I kind of locked her up, so to speak, just in case you were going to do some assassination with her in the end, or a couple pot shops off to finish off Asphyxius. And then after that, my Wither Shadow went, and oh, this is juicy. And I knew you definitely didn't realize this, obviously. It was apparent, and I was just happy that I was finally able to pull it off. Well, finally, I was waiting, and I was really scared, that you were going to kill them, because I completely forgot early on that you just shoot your own pods. Because I was like, hey, I got a lot of stealth surrounding me. He's not going to be able to leap off anything to hurt the Wither Shadow. But then, you know, of course, your pods, right?
Yep.
It's always something. So I was glad that Admonina, whatever pronunciation, she was available. So she went up and she cast her Unbinding. That's it. It just eluded me. D3 damage to the caster, and then it just gets rid of a specific upkeep within 5 inches. No target necessary.
I think it actually gets rid of all upkeeps within 5 inches.
Yeah, I believe you're right, actually. Not a specific.
Yeah.
So, which was your one particular upkeep? I think I got her about 4.5 inches away, and did another 2 points of damage to your caster.
Yep.
So at this point, he had 10 damage points left. Oh, and I shot dark fire with my other Wither Shadow. I used my dark fire spell.
Yeah. To kill my lightning pod.
Yes, sorry, and aimed it at your lightning pod, and got rid of it, no problem. It's POW 12, so it was really easy to kill. So that was nice. Really wasn't gonna do anything else with it. So, and And yeah, this is where I really, really thought, okay, well, we had 10 Raiders I could have brought back. If they all hit, you know, any one of your Jacks that I could have got them in range, specifically the Colossus, then I could kill your caster. But they're hitting on fours, which is not, you know, it's not guaranteed. It's not anything but Snake Eyes. So I figured, you know, 10 of them, chances are one or two could still miss. And then I'd be left with your Colossus with still half its health. They're not going to do a ton of damage to it. And no dead caster. So
that would be sad.
Yes.
Wait, did I say sad? I meant wonderful.
Yes. So, you know, it was like, but it still was a possibility. BLT activated next, and I didn't care about the covering fire with him. I figured he'd live through it, no problem. I wanted a dark shroud on your storm wall. So that's mm-hmm. for sure. Everything's storm. So I wanted a -2 armor attached to them because I also plan on getting some parasite in there. So -5, always fun. So I charged him in, and he did 9 damage, and then I cursed him, of course. At that point, he ended his turn. He didn't take, I don't believe he took any damage from the cloud effect.
Nope, just ran through the covering fire like it wasn't even there.
Yeah, it was nice. It's nice. It's a nice feeling.
You know, he's armor 17.
He gave you the finger the whole way, by the way.
Yeah. Is he armor 17 or 19?
No, 19 would be beautiful. I can make him 19 with, you know, I have a couple, a Death Ward, I believe it's called.
Right.
But he's 17.
Yeah, so it was only dice -5. And I actually rolled a 5, which is just brutal. But you're right. In order to kill him, I would have had to roll a 13 on 2d6. So he was going to get through no matter what.
Exactly. And so I knew he would survive, and I didn't need him the following turn because I was kind of hoping to end it or be pretty darn close to ending it. I didn't think he was too important. So, even if he did get boxcars. So it was nice. So we got in. And then at that point, you know, still a lot of choices. And I only had a lot of dead raiders, and I believe one dead thrall.
Yep.
Then there might have been a bile in there as well.
Yep, and Tremulous, but you can bring him back.
Precisely, character, right? So, you know, I still wasn't very confident. I wanted to kill some more things. I contemplated a few options, but I went with my knights, and I charged the Strider. We had an issue with line of sight, and I'm positive, but that they could see, but I had already moved them.
I was looking at the pictures for this issue as well, and it looked to me like they could see him.
Yeah, I think they probably could.
But you know even I would if it came down to like anyway, it was definitely we were debating at least one. We were debating at least based on the pictures.
I think the reason that I forgot, and this is just a line of sight issue, is I thought he didn't get a line of sight because the other bases were in the way. But it's a huge base. You can see it no matter what. So it was really, unless you happen to be right in that one spot where the cottage had a blind spot, you probably had line of sight.
Yeah, exactly. But the one could have been debatable for sure. But you allowed me anyway, which is nice. So I owed you one. So I ended up charging every single one. Wasn't too hard with Ghostly to get in there where I wanted. I pretty much placed, all of them within 2 inches of the Storm Strider and just swung away. And killed it with, well, I believe there was 3 left when all said and done. There were still 3 knights. So it took 7 knights to kill the thing, which is pretty impressive. He lasted.
Well, armor 21 is a thing, man.
It is a thing. It's a big thing. It was really tough to kill him. I might not. It was potentially would have still survived. I kind of,
Speaking of which, was this before or after Admonina?
This was after Admonina.
Oh. So I wonder, actually, if she might have been within 5 inches.
I never even measured.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't even know.
Yeah. Good call. That's on me to pay attention to that, because you're absolutely right. Very, very well. Very well.
And you could have killed it with, like, 2 wings.
Yeah.
That would have been beautiful. And D3 times 2 on the caster, right?
No, that would have hit my Journeywoman.
What's that?
It would have hit my other caster.
Yes, you're right.
Anyways,
Good point though. Good point. The order of the knights I attacked with, I wanted to attack with front row first because if you were to push anyone back, they're not going anywhere. But they only have one attack anyway, like you said. It's not really a big deal that you push them back when they're done. But the last 3 ended up doing nothing when, in reality, I could have had the last 3 kill the objective if I did it right.
So that had 2 of them attack the objective.
When all said and done. They did a lot of work.
Yes.
I was happy with their outcome. Yeah. And the objective was still intact. at that point, I decided what I wanted to do for the feat. So I went with the Bane Thralls next. And I was maybe hoping to clip Iris, maybe. But I really just wanted to kill some knights. That's all. I wanted to get some knights to feat. That's all. I needed that reach. I didn't really need it, but I wanted it. I really wanted that reach in case I would decide to go after your caster. I wasn't really sure what I was going to do for positioning. So I moved the Biles up. Didn't get anywhere near your Iris. But I ended up clipping, I believe, three knights total.
Yep.
Three knights total, that's correct. Yep. And, so I put him in the back burner, and that's all the Biles did. One Bile hung out behind a house, behind a cottage. And the other one just stayed out on the other side of that cottage, just being Biles. and then my Night Wretch activated. I moved it forward and figured, why not do that amazing gun? It's there. So I shot it, and I did 2 points of damage, which was nice.
Yep.
You didn't suffer the penalty in melee, so I didn't have to worry about that. And at that point, I left him where he was. Pistol Wraith went, and I figured your shield guard was going to come into effect again, so I figured, why not just kill something instead of going after the storm wall? So I shot a Stormcaller. That you shield guarded it the first time, and then I did 2 points of damage to your jack.
Yep.
And then I shot again. You can't shield guard twice. And I hit. You know, I'm sitting on high rat with that pistol wraith. So I'm very happy with that guy. And you had low defense as well. It was 13 defense, 7 rat. So I killed him easily. Those guys are deadly. 3 attacks each. You know, just really wanted to eliminate them. So that's all the pistol wraith did at that point. He got a soul. So I'm hoping maybe if there was another turn, I could use that soul the following turn. My Gatsby went at this point, and I charged the objective. I really wanted that objective in case everything came down to points. I knew it was risky, because I also, at the end of the turn, wanted to teleport, and I also wanted to cast Parasite, and I also didn't want to die to your guns, and I needed some... by the way, this whole game, you haven't heard me mention, I never put his star... I never used his star action, in which you can put a 5-inch AoE down, and then I get all the souls from that AoE. There was not a lot of potential for soul gathering. So I never really plopped that 5-inch AoE anywhere because you didn't have a lot of living things, and the ones you did were nowhere really near me. So he was not getting a ton of extra focus, right? So I was a little nervous, but I charged it anyway. So I charged it, killed it, got my point, feated, and brought back 3 knights, a thrall, and 6 raiders.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. I was very happy with that outcome. And then at this point, you know, I didn't plan ahead. I teleported behind a house with some, you know, I put the Cosmic Mist down first, and then I teleported back and placed the Cosmic Mist accordingly and teleported behind it, also base to base with the Bile Thrall, which, you know, doesn't really help because he's an easy target for your leap. So I wasn't really thinking at all. That was definite brain fart. But I didn't know I was going to be going there. So when that Bile Thrall initially got placed in that perfect cover for Asphyxius, I just didn't think Asphyxius was going to be doing exactly what he did there. I didn't think I would have to charge the objective. But I just really wanted it killed, and I didn't want to waste any of my feat models killing that thing. So that's what he did. He feated, and then he teleported back. He cast Parasite, of course, naturally, on the...
Oh, yes, of course.
Stormwall.
Of course.
And it hit very easily, of course. So he's minus 5 armor now. So I feated, and the order in which I charged came into play, so I really kind of brain farted there. But I charged with my knights and then my thrall. I ended up doing... just between those fours, 45 points of damage between those four guys, hitting at dice minus 3, Starcrown Parasite.
Unbelievable amounts of damage.
Yeah, with 4 die, right? Because they all have Weapon Master. So it was great. And, you know, they had help. They had to Parasite first, but hey.
Well, yeah, it was a lot of damage.
Yeah, it was very happy. And again, I have to credit the Wither Shadow. None of this would have been possible.
You'd like to thank the little people.
Today's game was brought to you by them, for sure. yeah, so either or, there was a, many raiders left. Two got a successful charge off on your Sentinel that was at once behind your Colossus. They have Pathfinder and, well, they have Ghostly because of the feet. You don't have to worry about much. Charged right through the wreckage. One misses because, you know, Matt Six, yay. miss a jack, come on. The other hits and I did 4 damage, which that wasn't the point. It was just whiplash. Yep. Or, sorry, backlash, whatever you want. I wanted to... hit your caster some more with a little feedback. Sorry. Mm-hmm. There we go. And I got a raider in there as well. I believe I charged a raider charge Nemo, I believe.
No, the Stormcaller right beside Nemo.
That's it. Okay, sorry.
Yep.
My bad.
No, it's okay.
I'm just reading all my notes and your notes here. I'm just trying to remember everything. But it charged a Stormcaller. You're right. For some reason, I really wanted to charge your caster. But I figured, again, Matt 6, just it's futile with the defense. You were sitting at, what, 15?
14.
14 base, yeah. So yeah. Wasn't really feeling it. And I missed him anyway, so whatever.
Yay!
I wasted several raiders. Several raiders was complete waste in that feat. Now, I do believe they count to they do contest and get points because they last till the end of the turn when scoring happens, I believe. Not that that came into play, but...
I don't know. We'd have to look it up.
Okay, that didn't come into play there because there were other things left in that zone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so that was the end of the turn, and I was really confident. It was just completely jammed in the center. There's not a whole lot. It was kind of, I figured you had a Hail Mary in you at that point, and I just hoped, crossed my fingers. So I got another control point for controlling the zone, and then one for killing the objective. That put me at 2, and of course, you know, kill box, I... moved a little too far to the right hand side of the board, lost 2 points,
which was awesome. Yes. Tied it up for 2,
but it was good. I really liked the feat, you know.
No, it went just about perfectly. You took off both my major pieces off the table, and I mean, if you think about it, your entire Sitaxis Raider unit is like 11 points, and you lost that and 10 points and. 3 of your Bane Knights. In exchange, you killed 28 points of model. So
definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's a fair trade.
I summoned minions, did their job. Love it.
Okay, so Signar turn 3. I don't think I'm exaggerating if I say that the outlook spontaneously was very bleak. I have a full health Charger, more or less, a full health Firefly, more or less, 2 Stormcallers, a Journeywoman, and Nemo and a Sentinel. That's it. And Krix has still got basically their full minimum unit of Bane Thralls. One of them was knocked down, but you know they have the Standard Bearer. He's going to stand up for free next turn. Completely full unit of Bane Knights minus the 3 that Adam had killed himself generously. And he still had the Pistol Wraith and the Night Wretch. So I had 2 points. It was... plausible, although improbable, that I could clear out the entire center zone and then destroy Adam's objective and dominate the zone. And if I did all that by magic somehow, I would get 3 points and win by scenario. There were 2 problems with that. The first was the Night Wretch, which was still at full health, I think. I'd missed it every time I had shot at it. And the second one was BLT. Tartarus with armor 17 is a bit of a beast. I could have moved Nemo, Energizer, and then walked him straight towards Tartarus and just gotten within reach range. And believe it or not, Nemo actually has a powerful melee weapon. You spend 1 focus, it boosts to hit and damage. Which nobody knows, because Nemo should never be in melee, ever, ever, ever.
If you ever find out he has powerful attack, you're doing it wrong.
I'm doing it wrong. That's exactly it. And I would have done it, unquestionably would have done it, except... that even charging, I wouldn't have been able to get in the zone if I did that. I'd Energizer 1.5 inches into the template, and then Nemo charges 4 inches through the template. Oh, maybe he could have been close. Might have gotten on the zone. But then I'd have to kill BLT with Nemo and 6 Bane Thralls, which includes their officers, got wounds, plus the Night Wretch, plus the Pistol Wraith. It wasn't impossible. Oh, and then Admonina, of course, because she's just towing into the zone on the other side. It wasn't impossible, but it was really improbable. Everything would have had to be perfect, 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 perfect. And considering the way the game had been going, that was pretty unlikely. However, as Adam pointed out, he had generously hid behind a caustic mist that happened to have a bile thrall right inside it, right next to Asphyxia. So there was no
Lucky
question.
You.
Yeah, it was just, it was perfect. There was no question that if I hit that bile thrall with my 3-inch AoE, that Asphyxius would be in the blast radius. And Asphyxius at this point has got 4 health left. He's armor 16. He's completely out of focus. And my blast is a pow 7. So it's dice minus 9, which means I need a 13 to win the game. And needing to roll 1-13 on 3-6 is not nearly as bad as having to kill Banelord Tartarus, 6 tough Bane Thralls, and a Night Wretch with everything else. So I was like, okay, I gotta go for it. So Nemo camps his full stack, takes the last focus off the Squire. Journeywoman activates first because there's one Bane Knight between Nemo and Asphyxius with reach. They all have reach, but that one in particular would have been able to tag Nemo as going by. And Nemo has old man stats, and if he had cranked that one damage roll, it might have killed him. I was only down to, I think, 7 or 8 health at this point. So I activate the Journeywoman, I put Arcane Shield on Nemo, and then I boost a shot into the Bane Knight. No, I didn't boost a hit. I just boost damage. So I aim, I shoot the Bane Knight, hit him, boost the damage, and kill it, which is perfect. So now the path is clear. So Nemo activates. He casts Energizer himself, moves up 3 inches, and then he walks up another 5 inches. He really didn't move his full 5. He moved about 4, but whatever. So that he was within 8 inches of the Bile Thrall. I was also kind of hoping that I could get Nemo far enough that I could see Asphyxius through the edge of the cloud, because Asphyxius has got a medium base. It's kind of hard to hide with just one 3-inch template, but Adam had done a good job. He tucked it right up against the house, and so even if I'd moved the extra inch, I wouldn't have been able to see him. So that's okay. I'm within 8 inches. I have my reroll from the Squire if I need to, and so I cast Electrical Storm on the Bile, and I boost a hit, and it hits. So it's a POW 13 to the Bile. The Bile is dead. So now it's gaspy. He's in the AoE. I boost damage, need a 13, and I roll an 8. So that's it. And then, just because I'm within melee range of Admonina, and she's basically screwed my entire game, I try to smite her with my staff, but I'm out of focus, and I miss. So she survives the game, which is just, you know, sad face.
Her last fuck you.
Yes, exactly. One big screw you to Signar. So I do a couple other extra attacks. I kill the Pistol Wraith and a couple Banes, I think. But it doesn't really matter at this point. We both know it's over. And I end my turn. Adam scores another control point for controlling the center zone. So now it's 3-2 for Crix.
Yes, this is my Crix turn 4. So top turn 4. And I took a little too long turn before to save lots of time. I didn't want to get greedy. I just ended the game. I ended up moving into the control zone and then teleporting directly beside Nemo to taunt him, deservingly, just to rub it in. And then, that was the game right there. Just so it came down to points, which I kind of figured it would in the end. I had so many more models, it was a little easier for me to get up in that control zone.
So you win 5-2. And for the record, I think winning by control points, not that I don't know if you're ever going to go do, quote, real tournaments, end quote, but if you can win by control points, you absolutely should. Because it's always the tiebreakers go down to control points. So it also coincidentally gives a great final shot for the game. Aaron took some beautiful pictures. Most of the pictures that Aaron takes are good. The ones for this game in particular, I don't know why, but are particularly good. They just really turned out well. And there's one shot of Asphyxius just lording over Nemo, which is just it's incredible.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right, so let's move on to rating the players. And we'll start with Adam, as he won. So we'll go first with feet use. Nick, why don't you start? How do you feel about Adam's feet use?
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, Nick's still here.
Anyway, so feet use for Gatsby. I mean, you know, Gatsby's feet is really good. Everyone knows that. You know, it's got potential tools to be just a really monster attrition feat, as well as potentially assassination as well. Basically, you know, with Bane Thralls or Bane Knights, You pop your feet, and you essentially can point to three heavies on the board and just say, take them off, please. Generally. I mean, like, depending on who you're up against. So that's like kind of the primary use of Gatsby's feet in competitive play, I believe, is mostly for attrition,
right,
to basically just remove your opponent's heavies from the table. So, I mean, I think that Adam's use was very in line with that. You know, the Stormwall was the main threat, and, the Lightjacks were kind of spread out all over the board, so he wasn't really going to get a lot of them. But, you know, you take down that Stormwall, and you pretty much take the wind out of Signar's sails. He did, and it died, and, you know, I give that a 4.
Aaron, what do you think?
A 4 or a 5. I mean, he destroyed how many points worth?
I could see a 5. I mean, a 5 for Gatsby feet would be something like, you know, killing the entire battle group or something. Yeah. Because it can, you know what I mean? It really can. Taking down just the most important target and making sure it dies, I think, is definitely worth a 4. And I could see arguments for a 5.
Are you rating how I used it or how the outcome was?
How you used it.
Well, the reason I would say 5, though, in this situation, he killed 2 models, sure, not a ton of them, but I mean, those 2 models were basically the only thing that Mark had to possibly win the game, and he just took them away, which basically neutered Mark's chances of winning.
That's why
I give it a 5 instead of a 4.
That's a fair argument. Yeah. I should point out that the only thing he really killed with a feat was a Stormwall. He killed my Strider with the Bane Knights charging the activation before the feat.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's a good point.
So, don't get me wrong. Like, he killed 19 points with the model with his feat, but
I had to use the Knights first so I could bile a couple of them to get them for the feat. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I had to charge with the Knights first.
This is one of the situations where I think the power of Gatsby's feat, which is probably, if not the most powerful, it's within the top 5 most powerful feats in the game, hands down, no question, is actually a bit of a detriment to Adam here, because he used it well, but this feat can do so much damage, and it just requires space and room and practice, which I don't think Adam has at this point. So killing my Stormwall, yeah, okay, fine. That absolutely won him the game. If my Stormwall had survived, I would win the game. My Stormwall being dead, he wins the game. But I still think it's only like a 3-4 for effectiveness, because he could have gotten a lot more mileage out of it if it had been used, let's say, better. So if he had been able to get his
board would have to be completely different at that point, because I jammed up your jacks. They were so far removed from this game, I didn't have to even think about them. They weren't getting into that zone for 2 turns at least.
Right.
There was, and after taking your battle engine, the only other heavy I charged, and I charged with 2 witches. Like, I wasn't, there was really nothing else viable, because I'm mat 6, right?
Yeah, yeah, no question. All I'm saying is that the trade-off is that your tactics were really good. Your feet use, in particular, I mean, you got good mileage out of it. I'm not saying it's a 2 or a 1 or anything like that. Yeah. I've had those games. You know, you had a very solid feet use, but this is not a pinnacle of a Gatsby feat. This is not it being used as powerfully as it could be.
I would still give it a 4.
I would still give it a 4 as well. Adam, what do you think?
I'm so biased. Come on. I'm even letting you hate myself here.
You think it should be a 6?
No. Given what I was presented with, so if we're saying how I use the feat specifically, so I'm just putting it in not necessarily how I position my caster the turn before to use the feat this turn, just how I could use it this turn based on this particular setup at this turn. I don't think there was any other options for me at that point, except maybe what I could have done, which is why, again, I won't give it a 5, because I... 2 raiders at least, again, we were kind of talking this earlier, but I think it was guaranteed it was these 2 raiders that couldn't do anything. I could have put them a little bit out in the open so I could have 4 raiders charge your Firefly. And again, totally maximizing it and getting 2 more damage to your caster as well, right?
Yep.
So, you know, that I definitely screwed up there as far as targets. Those jacks are my real only targets, because I noticed there was no way that Asphyxius could get close enough that he could put anyone in your caster's back arc.
Right.
There's just no way. I was really contemplating that. There's just no way. And 6 mat on 14, doesn't really do the trick.
Yeah. Okay, well, yeah. Four it is.
So I'd say a four for me.
Perfect. Okay, so tactics. Aaron, why don't we start with you? How did you feel Crix's tactical play was this game?
Pretty good. I mean, slow and plodding, which is a little bit not really Adam's MO.
is that sarcasm I detect?
Well, no, I
think there's plenty of people in our gaming group that have a problem with their speed.
Yeah, yeah. Myself included.
But no, I don't think this was really the case, but it almost felt that once the knights got into or the thralls rather, they got into the zone, they just kind of sat there for a bit. Adam was really humming and hawing on when he was debating how he was going to use Gatsby's feet to essentially assassinate Nemo through feedback. I don't know if it, I'm not going to say that he used it badly. He rushed in there and just kind of sat. And I think tactically that was a good job because he had so many more models to kind of hog that zone in and to prevent you from getting points.
Right.
So I think it was a three or a four. It may have seemed a bit more devastating because you had so, you being Mark, Signar had so few models, and once they started disappearing, once they started attacking, it seemed like a lot more damage had been done when maybe that wasn't necessarily the case, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Because the amount of damage was really focused on a few units instead of being spread out between a unit of infantry or something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'd say, yeah, up four.
Okay. Adam, how did you feel about your tactical performance?
Honestly, like I said, I don't want to seem like I'm being a dick, giving myself a high rating, but you're definitely one of my hardest matchups, and I'm always nervous playing you. Sometimes just really don't know how to proceed in some turns successfully without completely losing everything, it seems. Cause, you know, it really, you know, it's easy to shoot my guys down in some lists. So
yep.
I felt I did really well. I was able to kind of circumvent so many guns and so many leaps. I think, yeah, you killed a ton of guys that game. You really did kill a ton.
About a third of your army overall.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess not a ton. I guess I'm overexcited. But yeah, you did kill a lot. So, you know, I felt I played it really well. I kind of screwed up in the end with how I placed Asphyxius and could have lost me the game. So that I think that one move definitely deserved 1 point off game, because that could have ended me the game. But everything else, like I said, I knew what the knights were doing. I knew what the biles were for. I was going to just kill a few of my guys off for the feat if you didn't already do that, because that's all they were good for at that point. And jam that middle zone. So, you know, I think everything went over the way I wanted it to go. Okay. So I'd say like a 3.5, 4. That's pretty good.
Cool. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, 4 is fair. I mean, you know, no big blunders. You know, like, it, just, you know, solid tactics. You know, he knew he had to get the storm all dead, and he did what he had to do to get it. You know, it's a solid 4.
Yeah. I stand by my perspective in general that Crix and Legion are easy button for War Machine, but it's always nice to see Adam using them, because just because they're easy button doesn't mean that you can win simply. And he played a really solid game. He kept all of his models exactly where they had to be. The Bane Knights managed to get all the way up the table without being even shot at, kept them out of line of sight, did exactly where they were supposed to be. His Ataxis Raiders, he sacrificed in exactly the way that they had to be sacrificed to tie up my army long enough that his Bane Thralls could then tie up my army again. You know, it was just one of those situations where it was wave after wave of his men doing exactly what they needed to do. So yeah, I think a 4 is a very solid answer. The only reason it wasn't a 5 is there was never like an, oh crap, that was awesome moment where, you know, he swung his heavy cavalry in from one side and trampled over my entire force or something like that, you know. So
would keeping the turn that Gatsby took, however many damage, 12 damage.
Yep. 15.
Was it 15?
Yep.
Oh, it's much worse. would that fall under tactics or derp?
I think that
having underestimated the amount of damage that was potential could be potentially put onto him.
In my perspective, that was more of a derp than a tactical thing, because Gatsby,
that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, Gatsby had to be in the kill box, so he had to be somewhere close. And the position that Adam put him was behind cover, or behind concealment, as safe as he could have been while he was out in the open. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I suppose, he didn't have any medium bases in his army. There was nothing Asphyxius could hide behind.
No.
There's no way to block line of sight, except for his caustic mist. So maybe
there's no obstructions near the center of the board either. There was really only hope of getting cover.
So I think it was more of a derp war. He was like, he protected his Bane Knights instead of protecting his caster. Maybe he thought he was out of range, or
caster
something.
Couldn't go over there. It was 14 inches in the battle. Like, I could not get my caster near those houses. I was
no, no. But you could have put caustic mist in front of yourself instead of putting him in front of your Bane Knights.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. Anyways. Okay, so scenario. Well, you won by scenario, so obviously you were very aware of it. And on top of that, you did a really good job, from my perspective, of clogging up the middle with just a wave of bodies that were going to be pain in the ass to remove. You had a little bit of luck in the fact that, you know, you had that one Bane Knight that, or Bane Thrall that refused to die.
Yeah.
but overall, no, I think the scenario play was really solid. I think it's another four. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why it's not a 5, though.
The only reason I would say it's not a 5 is because he killboxed himself.
Oh, yeah, no, that's solid, yeah. That takes it down. Because, yeah, you can't say your scenario aware and then leave the killbox and be like, full points.
What?
Yeah, no, so yeah, definitely a 4.
Okay. Adam, Aaron, agreements?
Yeah, 4.
The killbox, I wasn't, that was a blunder. I wasn't really thinking about it. It wasn't really necessary. I knew I had it for points the following turn, so giving you 2, it's like, whatever, I'm just going for the win. You can have as many as you want at that point, I guess. Because it was not a big deal. It was that or risk dying. I had no choice.
Yeah, and that's the other trade-off, is that you kind of, if you had positioned yourself inside the killbox with one caustic mist, I don't think you could have blocked line of sight to Nemo.
I couldn't have. No.
Yeah. You had to be up next.
I got 6 points, I think, if I recall. Didn't I?
No, you got 5.
I did get 5. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
So 2 on turn 2, or turn 2 on turn 3, 1 on turn 4, and last 2 at the end. Okay, luck. Adam, why don't you tell me, how did you feel about your luck this game?
Honestly, I didn't feel like coming to play. I don't have any of those memories of moments where I was like, wow, I'm on fire, I'm cold.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're missing me a lot, because you didn't really, it wasn't hard for you to miss when you have to roll under 9. You had 2 rolls that were above 9, and I cheered both times. They were great moments, but you rolled enough
calls,
that I don't really think it was lucky. I think it was just, you know, falling in line with the statistics. I didn't really see any luck moments. Everything was pretty much average with damage. Kankerworm did a little bit more than he should have, like 3 points more. But
yeah, but not,
you know,
by
luck
much.
Would have been maybe triple box cars on that one. So no, you're right. The one guy did tough twice. That was nice.
Yes,
I would just say it was, you know, average luck.
Yeah,
out of anything.
No, on my side of the table, I think it was.
Oh, what's that?
From my perspective, your luck was, again, thoroughly mediocre. Not good, not bad. You weren't missing the Stormwall with Snake Eyes. You weren't missing. I don't think you rolled double Snake Eyes the entire game.
Not for attacking. You're right.
Yeah, I don't think you rolled it. Period.
No, there was a double Snake Eyes for damage. One guy that had to do damage. I rolled double Snake Eyes, but he wasn't going to do damage anyway because it was against your Stormwall.
Ah,
I remember.
There we go.
Anyway, I think it was my Pistol Wraith.
Okay.
Yeah, I think luck falls in a solid 3 here. Just exactly. Totally average.
Yeah. All right, and last but not least, derptitude. Aaron, why don't we start with you? How do you feel about Adam's derpiness?
Let's make a list.
I did leave the game at a certain point, and just out of sheer boredom. No.
You guys are both jerks.
I really think...
Nick's falling asleep. Aaron's walking away from boredom.
Why do we even bother
doing this podcast?
This game's terrible.
This game's terrible.
You do it for your fan. You do it for your fan.
Thanks for the singular, Adam.
Okay, let's be realistic. There are literally dozens of them.
Yes. It's true.
Ones of tens of fans.
I really think the only derp maybe 2. 1, leaving the kill box, which did kind of swing into Mark's favor, giving him those 2 points.
Yep.
And the other one that actually didn't really come to fruition in any way was going in base to base with the bio or the Bane Thrall.
Yep, Bile Thrall.
The Bile Thrall, which you did attack but didn't hit?
No, I hit him, I just couldn't kill him. I needed to roll better than I rolled, and so he survived.
Okay. I think those are really the only two derps. I think Adam might, I don't know if this is your thinking, Adam, that you feel like you sort of derped, quote unquote, with the Raiders on your left flank. Just because you could, you could, you sort of
like,
threw them
really
away.
I was nervous as what I was going to do with them. I didn't know if they should be used in this particular way this round. I was, you know, whatever. I was happy with what happened. But.
All right. Well, I'm just saying that if you did feel that way, I don't think that's justified because they really held up those.
Yeah.
His right flank, and they died, sure, but they did. They actually contributed to your win.
Adam, how do you feel about your derpiness?
I knew he was going to be in range, my caster, the first turn or second turn there, when I moved him beside the hedgerow, my second turn.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he was going to be maybe a shot or two. I didn't expect all that. I didn't expect you to hit him or at least get that much damage off. I suppose I could have camped some focus. But I really needed it. I was kind of starved this round, I felt. So I didn't really feel too bad about that move. It was not thinking that bile thrall shouldn't have been there. That really could have ended me the game. That was a big mistake. Yeah. Considering the whole game, I worked so hard to avoid that. Which I did. Like, so hard to avoid you hitting them and getting me in the mix. My high defense guy or my guy behind cover, behind clouds in the mix. So, yeah. Unfortunately, I did that. I would say that's a big derp. And is this a rating out of 5? We're giving this 1 out of 5 too.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, so
they're out of 5.
every major derp takes you up a point.
I don't know, because that could potentially is a game losing derp. So that's a big derp. I would say that one.
Basically, you're one above average roll away from being dead. Really?
Yeah, I would say that's like that in itself is worth 2 derps. So like I taking my from 5 being very few derpings, right?
No, one being no derp.
Five is okay, the derpiest derps that ever derped.
The derpiest derp that ever derped.
What? Yeah. Okay. They say he got this derp from an even bigger. yeah, okay. All right. So I would say I would put myself up to 2.5 derps.
2.5 derps. Wow.
3 derps. Yeah, 2.5, 3. That was like a big deal, man. That could have lost me the game. So
I think I kind of agree. The other derp, I would say, well, I don't know if it's a derp or not for its tactics, but on I think it was the second turn, the one where you shot Asphyxius with the Stormwall. On that turn, he probably should have had a cloud up in front of him to protect him because he was so far up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's tactics or derp, but I think that was a mistake anyway.
Yep.
To not make sure you at least have a little bit of line of sight blocking. But other than that, I mean, yeah, the stuff that you guys mentioned already is, you know, it's hardcore. You know, it's good. And I'd agree with the 2 or 3.
I think I don't really have anything insightful to add here, except that. So it's a derp 3 for me. Because of the 2 points we pointed out already, the first being that he was in range of my big guns, the odds of him losing on that turn were 25% if I really wanted to kill him. So one out of every 4 games, I would have won right there. Him hiding behind his Bile Thrall, in case anyone's curious, the odds of me killing him, 13 or better, 25%. So one out of every 4 games, I would have won there. So that's not insignificant.
If it was Groundhog Day, you'd win 1 out of 4 days.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And derp number 3... was him including a free Scarlock in his army.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that, to me, is a third point.
So. Sorry, man.
It's okay.
You know how I noticed, too, is at the end of the night, he's like, yeah, you know, good thing you brought Withershadow. And in my head, I was like, or I said aloud, yeah, they're great. And, you know, I kind of auto-include with him. There's a reason why I brought them, and then I followed that up in my head, saying, and that's why I didn't bring the Scarlock. Like, wait a second, why did I bring the Scarlock? He shouldn't. He can cast Parasite, okay. He's got to get close to a Jack to do that. But other than that, he's doing the Excarnate, where he can like just one little spell. He's not really very useful with them.
Yeah.
Sure, it's great. But anyway, then I looked through my list, and he wasn't supposed to be there. He was in the coven list that I brought.
I mean, it probably wasn't a massive impact, but unquestionably the Scarlock did take a shot that should have gone to something else.
Yeah,
but
probably like an extra Bane would have died instead.
Yeah, or the Raider UA might have been dead. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. I didn't lose because of those 2 points, I assure you that. Okay, fair enough.
Asterix!
So now we go on to rating me. Always my favorite part of the podcast.
Why do we have to?
Let's do it quickly.
One. Let's get out of here.
Done. Yeah.
Well, no, sorry, one, then five for Derp.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, my biggest Derp was playing against Crix. How could I have made that mistake? Yeah. Okay, so feet use. Nick, how do you think my feet went?
Feet, I think that you did use it on the right turn.
Okay.
No question there. I think that you didn't have much that you could do with it because a bunch of your jacks were engaged. your charger was basically dead on the left flank. Mm-hmm. But on that, I mean, you know, you did as much work as you could, and it was a solid average use of Nemo's feet. So I would give it a 3.
Fair enough. Aaron,
what do you think? It was thoroughly not bad.
Aaron, how do you feel?
I agree with the 3. I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. Because of basically what Nick said, the units that were affected by it were already tied up, so it's not like you really had a choice what they were going to do with that focus.
Right.
So you did as much as you could possibly do with it, which wasn't – it just wasn't that effective, so a 3.
All right. Except – Adam, you were on the receiving end of it. How did you think?
Yeah, I don't think you had any other choice. You I guess it depends how we're rating it. Am I rating it like on how you use it, in the timing? Because that was the turn to use it. It was the turn. You had no you waited another turn. I would have been right up in your face.
Yep.
Not that you still can't get use out of it, but you wanted it for shooting me to death. Really, so I'm assuming your main reason there to get as much shots off as you possibly could. And I could have killed a couple jacks if you waited a turn.
Yeah.
I think you used it at the right time, and everyone was in the range. I thought, I was hoping. I didn't mention anything until you feed, and you're like, "Oh no, I measured them." And I thought maybe your Firefly would have been out, and I was really hoping he wasn't.
So right on the edge.
Yeah, you positioned everyone accordingly.
Yep.
I think you did everything you could. So maybe the only thing is in question is your targets that you chose, and actually you choose. Maybe this was knowingly, I don't know, but killing my Raiders probably was the best choice because on my feet turn, that was less Banes to bring back.
Yes. Right?
But then again, that's more Banes that are alive for the following turn. So you really gotta, you gotta wait out. But I think you did, I think it's a 4 for your feet, honestly. Oh. I think you did all right.
Interesting.
Personally, I would say that, you're right that he did use very good target selection to take out the Raiders instead of the Banes, but I think that goes in tactics, not in defeat, just necessarily.
From a personal perspective, Nemo's feat is actually one of the least impressive aspects of him. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's in order to use the feat effectively, you really have to build a list for the feat, and this list was not built for it. Two chargers is good with a feat, but people who get the most mileage out of Nemo are really building lots of melee jacks, which can use that 3 focus to do a lot of damage. And so I agree with you that, or mostly with the fact that the feat was used as well as possible in this game. I don't think I built a good list for it. And on top of that, even though as well as possible in this game, it didn't really do a lot.
Yeah, you played the hand you're dealt, though. It's not, exactly. It's not new list selection. I still think you did as feet, in a vacuum, just talking about feet. And I think you did as good.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so I think the 3 is probably more reasonable because
I agree.
Just because if we're comparing my feet use in this game to Adam's feet use in this game, Adam got a 4, and he used his feet much better than I did. So.
Okay.
So tactically, Adam, why don't we start with you? How did you feel about the tactical performance?
Great. I'm assuming some of those plays were textbook. Spawn a pod, shoot the pod, kill as many guys as around that pod. Honestly, I knew that was coming earlier on. Just it's one of those things you just put aside, you just forget until you do it again for the first time. I was crap. So I had to really, really think about that. And it was almost the end of me too, right? So that was really good. Your positioning was the best. You did get greedy bringing two huge bases there, so you're right, you have a little bit of trouble on the battlefield moving them around. But you did what you could. I think you positioned them really, there's no other way you could have done it with them. The Storm Strider, like you said, doesn't need to go far anyway, so you put him in a great spot. He was protecting your caster as well. So really good placement of everything. It was making it hard for me to get to certain things. You're playing cat and mouse with your jacks, your Firefly and Charger there, making my Raiders really have to work, and only one guy charged them.
That was awesome.
Yeah, you had some good tact. It was really good. So I'd give it like, give it like good 3.5, 4.
What do you think, Aaron?
I don't know if it's as high as a 4, though.
Mm-hmm. You're the Simon Cowell of the group.
Right? Yeah. Oh, no, Simon is coming.
Is he still relevant, by the way, Simon Cowell?
No, I think it'd be like, what the fuck is the guy from Aerosmith who kind of looks like a lady now?
Oh,
Steven Tyler?
Yeah. Is he like the Steven Tyler of The Voice?
Which is ironic because his daughter kind of looks like a man. Anyways.
Yeah, okay. No, it's not relevant anymore.
Dear Lord, please edit this out.
Oh, that part's gone.
So much character from this podcast just lost every week. What I was going to say was, and this kind of goes against what I said about Adam being kind of plotting, slow and plotting this game. He did kind of set up a really good pincer move, in that he had a unit in the center to hold down the zone, but then on his left and right flank, he also had units, which prevented Mark from really moving anywhere with those units around those flanks. I don't know if it's good that he had units there to hold those flanks as best they could, or if he maybe should have moved them forward a little farther to make maybe better use of any range weapons it had. It's kind of tough to say because you moved as far as you possibly could, I guess, but you were barely out of your deployment zone. A little bit was because of the large bases, but I don't know if tactically that is as high as a 4 because you didn't really move that far. Or if it's just a 3 because you kind of were stuck there. And there was nothing really spectacular about tactically that you did.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying I am completely indifferent to this particular score. I will agree with what anyone says because I'm not really sure in my own mind.
5.
He's just a yes man.
Yes.
All right. All right, Nick, what do you think?
Okay, a couple things. Like, first of all, one thing Adam said about the taking out the Raiders instead of the Banes was smart, whether or not it was intentional or not. I'm not sure. It was smart because it gives him stuff for the feet that isn't going to wreck that much. You know what I mean? It'll do damage, but it's not going to just destroy your Colossal. He had to kill his own Banes in order to get his killing stuff, which is, good.
Yes.
But anyway... one thing I wanted to ask about with tactics is, first of all, what is the range on the gun of the Strider?
14 inches.
14 inches. See, because I was looking at these pictures, and turn 2, the turn that you fire one shot into Exficius with the Stormwall, I'm looking at the pictures, and it looks like the Strider is parallel with the zone on your side, Exficius is parallel with the zone on his side. You're totally within range. Instead of shooting that pod, you probably should have been shooting Exficius.
I couldn't get line of sight to him.
What? Really?
Because there are 2 caustic mists sitting next to the cottage, which go right up to the objective, and Asphyxius is between the caustic mists and the objectives. I couldn't get the Storm Strider to look past the objective and curl his line of sight to hit Asphyxius.
All right, I'll look at
the objective
again.
Is 20 feet tall.
Well, it's a large base objective, so it's unfortunately that...
Actually, 2.75 inches tall.
Yeah, but if you look at the overall the turn summary picture, you can see that he's got all his Bane Knights, the 2 caustic mists in front of them, and then the objective. So where I dropped the pod right behind Gorman, I can see just between that caustic mist and the objective to see, but that's my line of sight. I can only see in that direction. And Asphyxius by hook or by crook is to the left side of that, so I couldn't see him.
Okay, well, I'll take your word for it. I couldn't.
Really I did want him. To shoot him. It wasn't for lack of trying.
You were aware of the potential shot.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I don't see any mists here.
There are 2 smoke clouds right in front of the.
Oh, there they are. Okay, there they are. Yep. Okay, you're right. All right, then. Yeah. So I don't have that point to put against you. So that's too bad. I wanted to yell at you for that.
Yeah.
yeah, so in that case, I mean, yeah, you only had your 25% assassination potential with Stormwall, so it wasn't really a done deal. Yeah. Other than that, okay, tactics, you know, putting out your pods, shooting with your lightning stuff, arcing to all kinds of stuff, you know, staple Signar tricks that are, you know, nice and fun. Your triangulations, I think, you know, you when you placed your pods out, I think you were thinking more about what you want to kill with the pod and less about your triangulations, and I think and about your leaps, and so you could have concentrated a little bit better on what you're going to do with the pods and not just what you're going to kill with the pods.
Right.
You know, this is minor stuff. I mean, you didn't, you played a solid game. Other than that, I mean, it was a pretty good game. I mean, the terrain was very problematic for your huge bases, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that.
Nope.
You know, our gaming group plays with shit tons of terrain, and we generally like it.
Well, it makes great
looks. It's fun. You know, it looks really nice.
Yeah, it makes great looking battles.
And, you know, I wouldn't really even want to change that. Either, yeah. But yeah, but it can definitely be problematic once in a while, depending on the list. Huge bases especially can be very hard to run in our gaming group. But yeah, no, I think I think it was a pretty solid game. I'd give you a 3 or a 4 easily for this one.
Okay. For my birthday, I'm going to buy just a bucket of terrain that looks pretty but has no effect on gameplay. Just so we're all clear on that. Like flower...
A literal bucket?
A literal bucket. Like I want flower fields and roads and dirt paths. So we can put them on the table and it'll be like, oh, look how pretty the table looks. It doesn't give concealment, doesn't give cover, and it doesn't slow down melee. It's just
Jacks get +2 movement on when they start their movement on a road.
I'd be okay with that. Anyway.
I made that up.
Okay, so tactically, this is another one of those situations where I think my gameplay was solid. I think it looks dimmer relative to Adam, just because Adam played such a solid game. I don't think I played badly, and using the tools I had, I think I used them well. The problem was that this was an issue of list design. I didn't make a good list. I really thought the polarity field would be enough to keep the Stormwall safe, and that was dumb. You should always take units of screening troops to some extent, and it was silly of me to have such a valuable piece. Two valuable pieces, really, without anything I could run in front of them to absorb charges.
You really did need some chaff in this list. Like, even just, like,
running Silverline Stormguard,
into
man.
Base... Sorry?
Silverline Stormguard. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be good. Even just, you know, even as just, like, a Sword Knight to just run into base space with Admonia so she can't, like, get in range, that kind of thing. Like, things like that.
All sorts of things. A Silverline Stormguard. You know, next time if I run a list like this, I'm dropping one of the Chargers in the Firefly for a Centurion. You know, just something that can choke up the lines a bit. So, that being stated, again, I'm going to give myself 3, only because Adam's 4, his tactics were better than mine. He had a better list. He used it more effectively.
Well, I don't think scoring should be based on comparison.
As a general rule, no. My performance could be a 4 independently, but I think in this case... So basically you said 3, Nick said 4, Adam said 4, so I have the deciding vote, and I don't think my 4 in this case would be as good as Adam's 4, so I think I'm a 3.
Fair. Write it down.
Done.
Well, okay, fine, but I disagree with that. Anyways, go on.
You want it to be a 2. Scenario. Well,
no, it's not that I disagree with the score. It's just I disagree with that, the way that you've scored it, the reason that you've given yourself, that you're comparing it to Adam.
That's fair.
Playing
That's
well, because I still think a person can play well, equal to, their opponent playing well, even if they lose.
Oh yeah, no, that's not a question. I'm not saying I get a lower score because Adam won. I'm saying I get a lower score because Adam played a better game, and he had a better score. So,
okay.
I'm not saying that I get a 3 because I lost the game. I could have gotten a tactics 5 and still lost because there was a Hail Mary assassination. For example, if I had won this game, I don't think it affected Adam's tactics at all. Right. So, anyway,
I guess by definition, you can't get a 5 out of 5 if you lost, because if you had perfect tactics, you would have won.
Possibly.
Because by losing, you let something.
Something went through.
Something went wrong with your non-flawless tactics. So.
All right. So scenario. Let's keep this one really brief. I didn't really pay attention to the scenario. Let's be honest. I got 2 points because of kill box, and there was too many things in the scenario. The closest thing I can claim is I might get a 3 because I actually towed in to contest the zone with my Stormwall. It's not that I ignored the scenario. But
that was good.
But that was it. So I say 3. Adam?
Yeah, I would give probably, I guess I would go 2.5. You didn't even take a shot at the objective. You could have got a free point there. Yeah.
There was always so many more things to kill.
What's that?
There was always so many more things to kill.
That's true. That's true. It would have taken a few wasted shots. That's true.
Maybe if there wasn't a Scarlock.
Oh, you're right. Oh, no. You get obliterated with one shot, but yeah, that's true, maybe. I would say I'd give about 2.5 for controllers. You didn't really focus on it.
Fair enough. Aaron, what do you think?
I'd say 3 just because you were aware it was there, and you did toe in to attempt to prevent points.
Well, assuming, was the toe-in intentional?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
My Stormwall would have been...
Then you get the 3.
Otherwise, my Stormwall would have been
nowhere. Because sometimes you just, move them as far as you can. You're just like, well, I'll go here.
Yeah, no.
If it was intentional, if you're going to the zone, then yes, I'll give you the 3.
No, moving a Stormwall towards Bane Thralls is never a good idea.
So contesting a control zone one turn of the entire game gets them 3 out of 5?
Well, because 3 is average. You have to actually actively go against the scenario to get less than 3.
Yeah, I'd have to do really stupid things like run my Stormwall away from the scenario. Or...
Okay.
Okay, so luck. Unfortunately, my luck was thoroughly mediocre. Again, I hit Asphyxius once when I shouldn't have. Well, not shouldn't have, but I needed an average roll. I got the average roll, did good damage. In order to win the game, I needed good luck, and I didn't get it. And
if you had gotten that shot to win the game, then you would have gotten a 4.
Yes, exactly.
Because you didn't need the box dice, you just needed the 13, which was above average but not crazy.
Yeah.
And so if you'd gotten that, that would have been up to earning the 4 as it is.
Yeah.
You know, you had some good rolls. You had enough bad rolls to put you back into 3.
Exactly. Aaron,
I agree.
Agree.
Yeah, luck didn't really play that huge of a role this game.
Perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
Excellent. And last, we have Derptitude. So who wants to start?
Oh, derpy, derp, derp. Well, first of all, the charger on the left flank was a big derp.
Yeah.
Because the whole time you were measuring and all this stuff, you were assuming he was, the same Great distance line. Away as Nemo, pretty much. But in reality, he was a half inch back. And if you just looked, you probably would have seen it.
Probably.
But unfortunately, you didn't. And so he was out.
Yeah.
It caused you to waste focus in a silly way. And to waste your charger, pretty much. Because you could have at least hidden him behind the house or something otherwise, so that he wouldn't have been charge and kill, probably. Yep. Well, maybe. Who knows? Other than that, even big derps, not really anything huge. I guess, a derp was not remembering or underestimating the threat of Admonia. Because you needed to make sure she was more than 11 inches away from your Stormwall in order for him not to die.
Yeah.
And, that's something that you should have known. It's obviously there's a lot of things to keep track of in this game, so it's understandable to forget something like that. But, it's very important.
Yes, no question.
So that goes into the derp column, I would say.
Yep.
Can't think of anything off the top of my head, but there's probably more. Anyone else?
Aaron, you got anything?
The 4-inch advanced deployment.
Oh, yes. That was...
Which really should be like a derp for... Oh, like
well,
a
you didn't have
it for all
did
your
you?
Other games.
I did.
Your only advanced deploy was Iris, who you didn't actually deploy in front of.
Yeah, but the fact that I thought it was only 4 inches was, and then to correct Adam on the fact that he was deploying his 6 inches up.
that was kind of awkward because you're getting all kind of like hot in the collar about it. You're like, hey, what are you doing deploying your guys so far? You're like,
how dare you?
Okay, Adam, any derps that you noticed?
Aside from what I've already heard, no, I think they had some good points.
I'm going to agree with your 3. Just for future reference, Signar players, if you're using a Stormwall and Admonia is on the table, drop the covering fire between your Stormwall and her. Just so you know. I don't care if there are Bane Thralls on the table. I don't care if there are Bane Knights. You drop that covering fire template between you and her.
Problem is, that's dice minus 4. And she,
yeah, but she's only got 5 wounds. You have to roll a 9 to kill her. So.
9 on 2 dice. Not very good odds, anyway.
No, but it's better than letting her walk
in. The best defense is distance. Make sure you are 11.5 inches away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the ratings. So thank you guys for that. Real quick,
I didn't give a derp rating, did I? Did I give a number?
Oh, did you?
I think we agreed on three.
I said three. Do you agree?
Yeah.
With
okay.
Three?
Fine. You know what? Just go with the crowd on this one.
So this was for the record. This was a straight three game for me. So I'm okay with that.
Very average.
Yeah, very average.
Extremely average.
Average to the max.
The Mountain Dew of averages. I don't know if that joke worked. You can keep it in or not.
The magic of editing.
So, Adam, what have you got on the painting table these days?
I'm finishing up an entire unit of witches, blood witches.
Nice.
Just list half your army.
Yeah, just speeding through them. Honestly, I'm just loving it. I'm speeding through them, but when I'm done, I want to do the blood hag, and I love to base. I love basing, and I love having fun with it, so I'm going to have her, you know, at the back of the base. I'm making a little cauldron. I'm gonna have it smoking with like maybe a little pentagram in front of her. So, kind of neat. And then Shiny. That's about it. Maybe a couple jacks coming up soon, but who knows? I honestly have like 100+ models waiting to be painted.
Wow.
There's no end in sight.
Aaron, what about you?
Still puttering away on the Ironfang pikemen.
Very cool.
Have you got them? So last time we spoke, they were just assembled, right?
Yeah, they. I primed them yesterday. I haven't started.
So you haven't done much.
No.
What about you, Nick? What do you got going?
Okay, well, I don't have nearly as much on my plate as Adam. Because, well, Retribution is a much smaller faction, and I've been painting them for longer, and I'm not quite as slow as Adam, although quite slow. anyway, I can't remember if I mentioned this on the cast last week or if I just finished it between then. But anyway, I finished Eviros, and nice. I put that up on the Compost Might site. I bought Rifleman. I did one test paint job, and I put him up on the site as well. And after that, I said I was going to move on to finishing my Invictors because they're the first unit I ever bought for War Machine. So I figure it's probably about time I get them done. I also was going to work on a Phoenix at the same time as well. So I've got about a half base coated Phoenix. I've got about four Invictors done. And of course, in the meantime, the Houseguard Thane has come out and I've purchased him and I have basically painted him almost all the way now, about 80%. So, you know, the painting ADD strikes again. Nice. But so I'm probably going to finish the Houseguard Thane because he's so close to being done. And then I'm going to move on to the Invictors. But yeah, that's what I got going on.
Yeah, you actually painted quite a bit of troopers. Yep. You're putting the hobby guy's kids through college with all the turquoise and white paint you're buying off of him.
So for me, as I mentioned way at the beginning of this podcast, hours and hours ago, I really wanted to get a Menoth army on the table, but I don't like playing with only primed models, or even worse, just bare metal models. There's a psychological thing. I refuse to do it. So as a result, for 4 days, every day I got home, all I did was I sit down and I painted because I had to get enough color onto the model that I'd feel comfortable putting them on the table. And so I got primed and base coated almost to completion, so 50% done more or less. Two Reckoners, two magnetized heavy warjack kits, a Devout, and like 7 or 8 Solos for Menoth. So now I have to finish them all. So that's going to take a while. My Hero Phantom, my High Paladin are both almost done. And because Nick suggested it, I'm going to try to stick to the concept of not buying new models until I finish painting the ones I've got. And because there's so much in Menoth, I really want to have. Like, I need to have a unit of Holy Zealots. And I need to have a unit of Temple Flame Guard. So I'm going to be painting really damn fast.
Suggestion is you could just... ignore the notion that you have to play with painted models. You could, and you're fine. Then you have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Just play with anything you want.
Well, you see, Adam, some of us have standards.
Well, you know, and even proxying, like the list I was going to bring against Adam, it had one proxy in it, and that was causing me cold sweats. Like, I didn't want to do it.
Oh, man. So.
All right, well, I guess that's it. So does anyone have anything they want to say to wrap up?
Yes, actually. If you don't mind, I have a quick clip to play. Ooh. To send off the show. And interesting story, these clips were recovered from Nemo himself after the battle.
Oh, dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This isn't happening.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.